From One World Trade Center, where we can't figure out a 401k, but we can fill out a fantasy lineup. Welcome to the Golf Digest Fantasy Podcast.
Welcome back to the Golf Digest Fantasy Fix Podcast. I'm Alex Myers, and I'm once again joined by Joel Beal. This week, we are talking about WGC Bridgestone Invitational, which, of course, was unofficially the Tiger Woods Invitational for his reign. Obviously, Tiger won this event a million times, eight times, actually. But he, of course, is not playing this week. We are here to talk about everybody else who is playing this week. And if you're thinking this is earlier in the calendar than usual, you are correct. This event, along with the PGA Championship and also the Barracuda Championship, which is being played this week, have been moved up due to the Olympics. But it doesn't affect how it counts in your fantasy league. They all count. This is a big week. We're here to talk about it. Joel, welcome. How are you doing?
Notre Dame Paradise.
So let's talk about the Bridgestone. We got Firestone Country Club, one of the tougher tracks, really, right, on course. So we've just gone from a U.S. Open to Congressional to Firestone. So we're kind of in a tough three-week stretch for some of the guys who've been playing in all these events. Who jumps out at you right at the top?
Well, the first guy that I really like this week is Zach Johnson, who, if you remember, he's really had a spring lull this year. But Mike Bender, Johnson's coach, discussed at the U.S. Open that Johnson was battling a virus that caused him to lose some weight early this year, which I think is one of the reasons that caused that iffy showing in March, April, and a little bit in May. But he has bounced back as of late, had a T-17 at Colonial and was in the top 10 at Oakmont. Firestone has produced some high winning scores the past few years, and we tend to view Johnson as a guy who really succeeds in grinding out wins, but he does have a solid track record at the event. He played well in 2011 with a T6 and a T4 in 2013, so I think he's a good bet for a top 10 this week.
A guy who I think is a good bet for a top 10 is Jim Furyk, and we're starting to see him rounding back into form. Now, he's 46 years old, but coming off the wrist surgery, he came back, didn't do much his first few events, but then that runner-up at Oakmont shows you that he's playing well. Followed that up last week, T21 at Congressional. And this is an event where he's never won, but he is second all-time in career earnings in this event. And, of course, famously, he lost that seven-hole playoff to Tiger Woods in 2001. I remember I was moving into my dorm sophomore year, and we were watching that. And that was pretty amazing. That was just one of the many incredible moments that Tiger gave us at this event. But
do you just earmark your life in terms of Tiger?
Yeah, I was just going to say that. Yeah, you know, pretty much. Right, moved into college dorm. You know, sophomore year was Tiger. Freshman year was, of course, the 8-iron in the dark at Firestone. There's so many great moments. The time he beat Padraig Harrington down the stretch when Harrington had that, you know, put under the clock and fell apart. There's just so many. And this is just one tournament. This could be someone, most people's career would be Tiger Woods just.
I know we're both smiling right now, but I think we're smiling for different reasons.
Yeah. This is a nice trip down memory lane for me. Yes. I wish I were wearing my red shirt like Tiger Woods on Sunday in the booth. So anyway, back to Jim Furyk. He is a top pick for me this week. And actually, just doing another podcast with a golf odds maker from Las Vegas, Jim Furyk has been getting a lot of early action at the British Open. So it's not just me who's kind of riding this guy right now. I think people are seeing when when he was up at 60-1 odds, or I think he was 80-1 for the US Open, and that's kind of why I picked him. I didn't think he was actually going to win, but 80-1. He's now down in that 40-1 range, which is, you know, more realistic for a player of his caliber.
Well, if you look at Royal Troon as well, especially at the past winners and, you know, Todd Hamilton and Justin Leonard, you think of more guys who don't have the distance than some of the other pros. It's more about straight shooters, and Jim Furyk definitely fits that bill.
That is true.
Which is another reason why I think he does have a good chance this week. Firestone's not the longest, of course. It's the only par 70. I think it's around 7,200 yards, but it's just very tree-lined fairways in the sense of if you're not hitting the fairway, you're punching out. So I think a guy like Furyk is a good bet for, you know, a top 10, top 15. It's also worth noting that there's no cuts this week,
right,
which I think does help Furyk 4 days to kind of, you know, find his groove.
That's a great point. Speaking of the no cuts, I noticed yesterday that last place will receive $50,000. So you show up at Firestone, you show up, $50,000. Now, obviously, the winner will get $1.5 million or whatever, but 50 G's just to show up and play. Yeah, it's not, like not
my,
a bad
my like yearly paycheck.
Yeah. It's not a bad gig. Who else going down the line are you liking this week? Oh, and by the way, part of the reason for that is there are only 61 players in the field this week, which is this is always a limited field event, but that's a low number. And part of the reason is we mentioned the Olympics. Because this was moved, it is actually being played at the same week as the French Open on the European Tour. The European Tour was kind of ticked off about this. They are only counting Ryder Cup points for the French Open. So usually they co-sanction these WGC events. They are not this week. So about a dozen European Tour players, including Rory McIlroy, are actually playing in the French Open this week. That is why they are not playing this week. So if you don't see them, it's not because there's a, you know, a mess up on your computer. Rory McIlroy and some of these other big names are actually not playing this week. They're playing the French Open instead.
Between this and the Brexit, I think we're getting really close to another American Revolution, which I'm all about. I think we're way past due. All right, back on track. The second guy I have, though, for this week is Ricky Fowler. And just this time last week, I mentioned to avoid Fowler until he started showing signs of life. He did finish T44 at Congressional, but he did enjoy a very good start to the tournament with back-to-back 68s. He does have three top tens in his past five tries at Firestone, including a second place in 2011 and a T10 last year. I am a tad worried about his putting at the moment. He is hitting the ball just so well from tee to green that he's going to get plenty of chances for birdies, and you just get a few of those in your back pocket, you can turn around really quickly. Mm-hmm. I think this could be the week that Fowler stages his turnaround.
That's interesting you bring up Fowler. Yeah, we definitely said to stay away last week. Got off to those 68-68 start. You're thinking, oh, my goodness, here he comes. But faded to a T44, shot 5 over on the weekend. He's still struggling. But this is a course he's played well at. But this is a huge week for him because it's his last tune-up for the British Open and possibly his last tune-up for the PGA. There's such a quick turnaround this year. It's going to be 2 weeks after. So, you know, this could be a lost year for him if he doesn't get things going quick. So I think you're right. I think this is a huge week for him. I don't have enough confidence in him personally to go with him this week. But Joel mentioned, I mean, this is a big week for Ricky Fowler. So interesting to keep an eye on him. Another straight shooter who I'm going with kind of in the Jim Furyk mode is Jason Duffner. Now, Duffner has been playing pretty well of late. He, of course, won earlier in the year with that incredible shot off the rocks at the Humana. But other than that, he hadn't done that much. But T6 at Colonial, T8 at the U.S. Open, rounding back into form. He's got two top tens and three tries at Akron. So I'm going with Jason Duffner.
Duffner two weeks ago at Oakmont, very quietly played some of the best golf all week. Yeah. It's one of those things where he really didn't get much airtime, it seemed like. But
that's true.
His game is just made for this type of course. Really, you look at this his whole year, even though he hasn't necessarily placed at a lot of tournaments, you look at his peripheral stats, they all point to a guy who should be a top 15, top 20 player. You look at the rest of the calendar, not only this week, I think Duffner's a good pick going into Royal Troon, and mm-hmm. even Baldestrol seems like a place right up his alley as well. I think you wouldn't be surprised to see Duffner on a few of these leaderboards going forward.
A guy who is a top 15, in fact, a top 10, borderline top 5 pick, is Adam Scott, and I'm taking him this week. Of course, this is the site of Steve Williams' greatest moment of his career, when he, at least that's what he said, when Adam Scott won this event with Steve Williams caddying for him, even though Steve Williams had caddied for Tiger and, again, eight other wins at this course. But Adam Scott, obviously, great track record here. Four top 15 since 2010. The only thing that scares me, and I know Joel and I were talking about this earlier, he has not posted a top 10 since those back-to-back wins earlier this year, and that was back in March. So in the spring or summer, Adam Scott has not had a top 10 yet, which is kind of scary. But, again, it's not like he's been missing cuts left and right like Ricky Fowler. Right?
So he had a few top 12s, I think, in there
yeah,
as well. So it's not been that far.
Exactly.
Off.
We're using top 10 as kind of an arbitrary cutoff just because of that round number. But the fact is he is not at a top 10 since those wins. But, again, I don't think he's that far off. And another guy who the British Open, man, that's an event that he's come so close at a couple years in a row. Again, big week for him as he prepares for this big stretch of the final two majors.
Speaking of Scott, we've named a few guys already off the top of our head of someone we like at British Open. I know we'll discuss this when the time comes. However, just right now, who would you like going into Royal Troon as your favorite?
Adam Scott.
Wow. Scott.
Again, I'd like to see him have a big week this week just to kind of reaffirm that. But I just think he's due to win an Open. He had the two years in a row. He bogeyed four holes in a row on the back nine to cost him an Open. I mean, that's just incredible, I mean, especially from a player of his caliber. Of course, the most famous one was when he bogeyed the last four holes at Royal Lithgow to lose to Ernie Els. But, again, I just think he's had the best track record in that event. Who are you looking at so far?
Oh, Harris English.
No, of course. Your guy. You got to pick Harris English at every
well,
major.
I'm going to keep plugging away. Someday he's going to make me look really smart. Yeah. That way.
Well, that's what I did with Danny Willett for a while, and he won the Masters. So maybe I'll just keep going back to Danny Willett. Who else do you like this week?
Third guy on my list is Danny Lee, who's not really coming in with a ton of momentum. Only two top tens this year and ranks outside the top 60 in FedEx Cup standings. But he played really well here last year, finished T6 at Bridgestone. 25th in driving accuracy, as we mentioned a few times this podcast. You have to be a straight shooter to play well at Akron. He ranks relatively high in tour birdie average. We also mentioned earlier that I think somewhere in the 12 to 15 under range wins this week. Lee's definitely capable of doing that. For a deeper play off the bench, I think Lee is the goodest pick, if any.
And as good of a Snapchat game as any. If you're not on Snapchat, I'm not saying you should, but if you do, Danny Lee would be the first guy you follow. And Ricky Fowler, close second, but Danny Lee is spectacular.
I feel like it's
very
not even funny.
Guy.
It's like a work of art almost sometimes. I feel like you could put his Snapchats in a display museum. People would actually pay good money to go, very introspective.
He's great. Speaking of Akron, I'm amazed that you know who hasn't come up yet. LeBron James. We mentioned him last week, Quicken Loans, you know, being the sponsor of the Cleveland Cavaliers home court. And now Akron is the home of the world's greatest athlete, LeBron James, NBA champion, all-time great basketball player. Maybe he'll even be there this week. That'd be great. He's dabbled in golf a couple times. There was that Nike commercial. There were these pictures where he was playing with Warren Buffett and Bill Gates. It was really random. But he really hasn't picked up the game. Maybe that's his next what he should turn his sights to.
Brittany, what were you at the 7:15 mark before LeBron was brought up? That's actually, I think Vegas had the under on that one. So you're making progress, I guess?
Making progress.
Oh, God. That's, you know what? I actually liked, you know, being from Ohio, I don't mind the Cavs, but you're really making me change that stance really quickly.
Well, all right, back to golf. Who do you like? And back to great athletes. We haven't mentioned Dustin Johnson yet. This guy's the reigning U.S. Open champ now. Are either of us rolling the dice on him this week?
Not necessarily. He doesn't have a really good track record here.
No, doesn't.
I don't see him as somebody who's going to really carry momentum week to week. I don't think he's a bad play per se. But I'm also, if I had to pick 10 guys, I don't think he would be in the top 10.
Wow, 10 guys. He might be in my top 10. He's definitely in my top 10 for Troon. I don't care what you said about the accuracy or whatever. I mean, this guy, oof.
Well, five top tens in the last eight majors? So, no matter what the venue is, you have to pick him.
10 top fives in his last 21 at PGA Tour events or something. I mean, it's actually kind of amazing that he went that long without a win, playing that well. So he was overdue to win, obviously not just a major, but any PGA Tour event in general. Another guy who's overdue to, I believe, win this year and is maybe not overdue to win a major, but it is going to come, is Brooks Koepka. We've talked about him a bunch, but recently the back-to-back runner-up finishes. Then he had a T13 at the U.S. Open where he had that 8-under stretch on eight holes on Sunday at Oakmont. That was just showed you the firepower that this young guy possesses. And he's another guy who is a big favorite in Vegas and actually a favorite of Jeff Sherman, who is the golf odds maker for Westgate Superbook. He loves Brooks Koepka. If he were to bet on a golfer, he actually picked Brooks Koepka.
Which I saw a few charts mentioning as such. Don't you think that's a little bit too much for a guy who's only won once on the PGA Tour?
I think part of his logic is you're getting Brooks Koepka. I think he's 40-1 to win the British. I'm sure this week he's better than that because it's a smaller field. But 40-1 to win the British, if he had won three or four tournaments at this point, he'd be more in that 25-1 range. So you're kind of getting that value from the fact that he hasn't really gotten in the routine of winning it.
I guess I can see that. I always want my possible major picks to have a couple reps under their belt. And don't get me wrong, Brooks Koepka, I think it was just last year he had a top five finish there,
right?
2 years ago at a U.S. Open. So
right.
I mean, he has been there. He's not a total neophyte by any means, but it's just something just feels like I'm kind of jumping on the popularity train on Koepka. So.
But we will be kicking ourselves if he does win this week, because his odds for the British Open will not be 40-1 after that. He will probably be down to 20-1. So, again, if you're thinking a little bit ahead, something to keep in mind.
So
who else you got?
I hate to, you know, feed your spirit, because not only are you still riding off the LeBron high, for our listeners out there, Alex was a recipient of an award today.
Oh, gosh.
I'm not sure what it was, because I wasn't in the meeting and wasn't paying attention.
I was
and
in the meeting, and I'm not sure what it was.
But so. I'm told you got something, so whatever it is, congrats.
Thank you very much. Again, yeah, I'm not even sure what it is exactly, but it's something. I'll take it. I think it's the first award I've won, I was thinking about this, since high school.
God, that's depressing.
So it's been a while. It's been a while.
So what, 25 years?
Not quite. Let's say 15.
Okay.
Say 15.
Well, yeah. Again, not to keep boosting you up, but my fourth guy is Bill Haas.
Whoa.
And
yeah.
I hate to feed the Wake Forest love.
Yeah.
But, he doesn't really have that much of a resume at this tournament. I think he had a T7 a few years back. That's really about it. But he is coming in hot after a third place finish at Congressional. Has 5 top tens this year, really playing well this campaign. But what really intrigues me about Haas is the dichotomy between his birdie average and scoring average. He ranks 161st in birdies, yet 26th in scoring. Now, we mentioned that scores at Firestone can be in that 12 to 15 under range, but because of the tree-lined fairways, it's really paramount to avoid the big number. Haas won't be a guy who will throw up a 62 or 63, but I can see four rounds of 67, 68, and depending on the weather, that could be enough to get him in the mix on Sunday. So I think Haas is the guy who... He's in that kind of third tier of names you're looking at this week, but I think he's the guy I'm going to pick to win.
Wow, what a day!
Take it all in.
I win some kind of award. We talk about LeBron. Joel picks Bill Haas to win. I'm going on my golf trip later. I'm hitting the road in the middle of the
night.
That's
my only saving grace. I'll have to see you.
You won't. I won't see you for over a week.
I know. And you played well on Saturday.
You did too. It's been a good run other than the speeding ticket. But yeah, it's been a good run. We're getting back, getting some momentum.
Do you have any stayaways this week?
Well, we talked about Fowler, and I'm staying away from him, but I'm not, totally against him. Another guy who I'm kind of on the fence about and I would stay away from and we haven't mentioned yet is Jason Day. I just think, I don't know, a lot's going through his head lately, this whole Olympics thing. I think he's been projected in such a positive light in this last year, which he should. I mean, the run he's been on, and with Dash and Ellie and all this, and he's a great guy. But
whatever you're about to say something bad about Jason Day, you better watch yourself.
I love Jason Day. I love Jason Day. But I think any criticism that he gets over this Olympic withdrawal is unfair, but I do think he's going to get some, and I'm just curious.
I think he saw it today a little bit in the press conference.
Exactly, and I think exactly he got a little awkward.
A little testy, a little combative.
And you don't see that from Jason Day. So I worry about his mindset. At least this week, I'm sure by the British he'll be fine. But again, like, this is a guy who is used to having praise heaped upon him. Again, well deserved praise for the historic run he's been on, but I think today the tide turned a little. I think he'll be able to get it back in his favor pretty quickly, but I do think that there's a lot going through his head today and this week, and I just would probably, it's tough not to pick him every week, but this would be one of the weeks I don't.
I think the only way I'd counter that is for those who don't know, Akron is in Ohio, which is home state to Jason Day, to home state now, so he will have some home support.
He's a huge Cavs fan, big LeBron guy, even though LeBron was killed his wife.
Yeah, I just walked into that one.
Yes.
The only thing I did feel like, it sounded like he's been sitting on this decision for a while, and I thought it was kind of weird that he wanted to mention it last week, but he's a friend of Tiger, so he didn't want to take away from Tiger's event, which if you're at Bridgestone, you're like, how are you feeling about that one? Like, oh, okay, well, thanks for the backhanded shot at that. But
instead he just announced that he was thinking about retiring last week.
Yeah,
so
no kidding,
he did end up drawing some headlines. He draws headlines no matter what he does, pretty much these days.
Well, that's when you get to that, no matter what you say, you're going to draw fire at some point. But, yeah, I see what you're saying. I just feel really weird betting against Jason Day at any juncture. But one guy I do feel confident betting against is Phil Mickelson, which, right before he came in, I had a buddy call for a fantasy league, and he asked, I really like Mickelson this week. He had 5 top tens in his career, which is true, but the issue is that last top ten came in 2008. Since then, he's kind of been all over the place. He is having a really good year, which we mentioned this maybe a week or two ago, but he's fourth right now in Ryder Cup standings ahead of guys like Bubba, Patrick Reed, Ricky Fowler. So I understand why you could like him, but it's just lately he hasn't been there. And even if – I know it's a weaker field than most this year, but he is at Oakmont, he was just all over the place off the tee. And just for that reason alone, I just don't like him really having four good rounds at Firestone.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's never enough to say someone like Phil Mickelson's had five top tens in an event when, you know, he's played an event 20 times. Mm-hmm. I mean, for an average player, five top tens is a big deal. But Phil Mickelson, that's actually not a great success rate. So, yeah, I don't particularly feel that great about Phil's chances that much either. What about Barracuda Championship? I personally, just Masters of None, our fantasy team perspective. Brendan Steele is one of the top dogs there.
I know he's being promoted, I don't know what that says about Brendan Steele or the Barracuda Championship. Yeah. But it's the only thing really good going for the Barracuda this week is because of the Greenbrier cancel. There will be some British Open spots the line.
Just one. But still, that's pretty cool. I mean, you never know. I mean, so if you're the top finisher who is not already exempt into the British Open this week at the Barracuda, you will get into the British Open. Now, odds are that's probably going to be the winner. I'm just guessing. But, last week that was kind of a nice subplot with Harold Varner making the par on the last hole at Congressional to secure his spot in the British. Vijay didn't become the oldest winner in PGA Tour history, but he earned a spot. Obviously, John Rahm with that incredible – we haven't mentioned – what a pro debut.
My God. So I followed him for two holes at Oakmont. My back hurts just looking at that guy's swing. That does actually worry me over the long term, him avoiding injury. Yes. But, my God, he just hits the crap out of the ball. Yeah. And he's so good around the greens, too, which is really surprising. I'm just watching him on the range, I thought, okay, you can kind of get away in the college game with an iffy short game. But he's actually almost better around the greens, especially with his wedges. I think this is just a matter of him getting some reps under his belt. I wouldn't be surprised if he even, makes a late run here and finds his way in the FedEx Cup by August. He's that good of a player.
Yeah. Of course, he's not in this week. He didn't do enough with that T3. If he'd won, he would have gotten in. It's an interesting story, actually. It just happened before we came down here. Billy Hurley got into this event with a win. Now he's going to play, but he's actually not going to play in the British Open because he is a groomsman in his sister's wedding. And again, this is a man who knows a thing or two about commitment. 5 years in the Navy, he's sticking by his sister. He's not going to the British Open.
Would you do that? Would you bypass a sibling?
I don't think
wedding?
So. Got to be honest. I think either. I'd play in the British Open.
You know what? Chances are they're going to get married a second time anyway, so you can hit that one up.
Exactly. So, good for you, Billy Hurley. But, again, he was a great story. Who knows? Maybe he stays hot this week, makes a little run here. But, anyway, any other picks you wanted to mention or people you wanted to mention?
I think we about covered it. I mean, I'm just kind of basking in your glory of the week of Myers. Everything's going your way. So where are you heading for the golf? It's down in Maryland, correct?
Ocean City, Maryland. Actually, technically outside of Ocean City. Bunch of different courses. Golf's other green jacket is on the line this week, and hoping to take it back for the first time in 5 years. And if I do, you will see me wearing it around the office.
I remember, I started here last year in late June. I think you went on the golf outing the second or third week.
Yeah,
I've never seen another human being as dejected as you when you came back that Tuesday. You couldn't form complete sentences. You just kept mentioning choke.
Well, I choked. And I joked earlier today that I need to hire Billy Hurley as a mental coach. I could use some more toughness on the course like he displayed on Sunday.
You are a self-proclaimed fragile flower. So.
I'm a delicate flower, and I'm a very weak, mentally weak golfer. But you never know.
Other than that, though.
I was just going to say, you never know when someone else is going to choke worse than you. So that's the positive thought I'm taking with me to Ocean City in my quest to claim golf's other green jacket
the
23rd HGGA championship.
You have a spot open because that's the competition. God, a guy counting on someone else to choke to win.
Yeah, not great. All right, well, that wraps it up for us this week in discussing the Bridgestone Invitational. Please, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to us on iTunes and check us out on Twitter. I am Alex Myers 3, and we got
Joel M. Beal.
And, you know, feel free to comment, shoot us some questions, you know, ask me about how my trip went, you know, anything that strikes your fancy. But in the meantime, please subscribe to us on iTunes and check back with us next week when we – actually, we won't be here next week because the Greenbrier is canceled. Check back with us in 2 weeks when we have a special British Open.
Maybe we just have a LeBron-only podcast.
LeBron-only.
The filler.
Maybe we'll do that instead. But we will preview the British Open, I promise. We'll be back at some point in the future. Please check us out. Thanks again. Bye.